You're listening to sermon audio from Ankeny Free Church in Ankeny, Iowa, a community in Christ on a mission to reach our community for Christ. To learn more, head over to ankenyfree.church.
Well, good morning. My name is Todd. I'm one of the pastors here at Ankeny Free Church. It's a delight. I'm just so excited to see all of you here that are able to worship together. This is a very special day in the life of our church, and it's just exciting to have you with us. I know some of you that know me maybe have noticed what I'm wearing, and I just want to give a little bit of clarity. Family pictures. I'm sure it's nice to dress up here in front of you, but there are greater forces in my life that maybe dictate what exactly I'm wearing. Now, I know that there are a number of you that call this your church home. There are probably some of you, though, that are local and are looking to see where the Lord would have you. And I just want to invite you to come back next Sunday. We will be asking the question, you know, who are you following? You know, we want to follow Jesus, but everyone else wants us to follow them. How do we walk with Jesus here in this world? And so it's going to be a real practical, hopeful message. And so I invite you back next Sunday. Well, there is no one in this world that has had greater impact than the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you are not a Christian, the influence of Jesus is undeniable. If you believe that people are created with equal dignity and worth, that, my friends, is a Christian thought. If you feel that those that are less fortunate deserve kindness and compassion, that is a Christian thought. If you believe in consent or progress or freedom, guess what? The influence of Christianity is felt throughout the world. There is not a country that doesn't have people that call on the name of the Lord. Even the year 2024 is based off of an attempt to find out when Jesus was born, and that year governs most of what the world sees as time. And it is this Sunday, above all Sundays, not even close, when most people gather together to worship the Lord on a Sunday morning. There's nothing quite like it. And it all comes down to this. On this day, we are celebrating the not just the death, but the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a metaphor. It is not a symbol. It is a reality. And churches, Christians across denominations, do not disagree on this point. It is a non-negotiable of Orthodox Christian faith that Jesus actually died and rose again. We see that from the very beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul begins by saying, what is the good news? The gospel. And he says this, in verse 3, for I delivered to you what I have also received, that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. This event is what we call the good news. He goes on later and says, if this didn't happen, your faith, it's futile, it's in vain. It means nothing. He's like, actually, if this didn't happen, we are the people that are to be pitied above all others. It is ridiculous. We should close the doors to the church. We should be done if this didn't actually happen. In fact, then that means that we are still guilty before God. We've done absolutely nothing for ourselves. I want to ask the question then today, why does the resurrection matter? It's so important. Why does the resurrection matter? And we'll find out that the resurrection is how God takes care of our failures. It's His rescue in the midst of our need. It occurs by the resurrection. And our passage will show that. So if you would, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 16. If not, you can simply just listen and follow along. But I would ask if you'd please stand. And I will be reading Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that once again you would intervene and help us to see with fresh eyes the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray, O Lord, you would speak to us, for we came to hear from you. So use my words, or work in spite of what I am saying, in order that we might hear your word given to us by your Spirit. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So our passage today really talks about two things: failure and then grace. Failure and grace. And we are going to see that the resurrection, it matters. It matters because this is how God rescues us. And so let's start with failure. I don't know about you, but I have some failures in my life. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I had no girlfriend and the prom was coming up. So I went and I asked this girl if she would go with me to prom. And she said, "No." No. Mm-mm. Now, I'm sure she said other things, but that is the word I remember, is no. So I went, and I was a part of this little Quiz Bowl team, which, kind of in retrospect, maybe will explain a lot with this story. Won't lie. But nonetheless, I go to them, and I tell them my tale of woe. And on this team, I have a friend, and she has a date to prom and a boyfriend. So she is like a leader among us here in Quiz Bowl on how to navigate such waters. And she took a special interest in my plight. And so after our time, we talked, and I had a new name, I had a plan, and I had hope. And so I went, and I talked to this second girl, and she said, "No, no, no." So I went back, and we talked, and so I had now a new name, similar plan, a lot less hope. Girl number three said no. Girl number four said no. Girl number five said no. Now, girl number six did say yes. It's very friendly, kind of just, you know, kind of time. It was great. I don't know if she felt pressure from my friend. At this point, I felt like, you know, maybe her name was on the line here for some of this. And you might think, well, this is a success. But, you know, it doesn't erase the previous five failures. That's the problem with failures, is while we can learn from them, maybe even grow, they aren't removed. Life is not a video game where we get to start back and undo the mistakes of the past. And this even goes quite a bit deeper for us. There are things where we have failed in our character, where we've acted selfishly, we've lied, we've betrayed, we've cheated on. These failures rest deep within us. Some people, when you think about failures of the past, there's a temptation to begin to even mutter out loud, to speak maybe what you wish you would have said, or even vocalizing some justification for the time. One can even begin to blush and rise up from things that happened again years ago. Our failures don't magically just go away. This is failures for one another, but what about failures to the Lord? You know, He knows all things, sees all things. There's no hiding, there's no skirting anything when it comes to the Lord. And that's what we have here in chapter 16. The obvious one here is the women. They came and they were wondering what they were going to do. There is this angel that's telling them that this is exactly what Jesus had said. This is, and all they are to do is to go up to Galilee and report this to the other followers. And they failed, verse 8, because they fled. They didn't say anything to anyone. They were afraid. Now, we do know that eventually they overcame this. And we know that because, well, here we are, right? The word did get out. But what I find interesting is in verse 7. But go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter is kind of interesting. Peter was a close friend of Jesus's. Now, throughout the book of Mark, what we see is no one really understands who Jesus is or what he came to do, at least not until the very end. There's his followers continually failing throughout, but it seems like no one failed as much as Peter, telling Jesus what he should and shouldn't do. But the most severe failure happened the day before Jesus died, when Peter proclaimed his loyalty, his steadfastness. He would never leave him or betray him. And Jesus is like, "You will betray me three times before dawn when the rooster crows." And that's exactly what happened. Peter failed right where he should have succeeded. And I think that when we think about our failures, when we think about our failures before the Lord, what is Peter to do in light of that failure? How does that failure now work with the Lord? Well, the answer is grace, and it's found right in our passage. The news that Peter was to receive was found in verse 6. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. You see, God's love and grace and specific restoration, not only to the disciples, but especially to Peter. Peter, who's especially mentioned, happens because Jesus rose from the grave. How does that work? You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, that the Son of Man, referring to himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus, who is both human and divine, when we trust him, we become connected to him. And when we are connected to him, we have forgiveness from what he did on the cross, how his shed blood cleanses us. We are also connected to him in order that we have new life through his resurrection. everlasting life, a place with the divine Godhead for all eternity happens because Jesus actually rose from the grave. It wasn't some mystical metaphor. It was a true reality. More than just proof, it was power. Power for us here in this life and especially in the life to come. And that is Peter's hope. It is our hope as well. The foundation of God's love and goodness toward us is most clearly seen and built upon his death and resurrection here at the cross and at the tomb. And that is why people celebrate Easter across the globe and have for centuries, because it is this foundational truth upon which we have hope. The resurrection is how we are rescued from our faults. Well, we need to trust in Jesus' love, meaning his death and resurrection for our failures. We need to trust in Jesus and his love, which means his death and resurrection for our failures. Now maybe you're asking, well, so how does this work? Because Peter and myself, how do we kind of get this love from God? It sounds like it was not based on anything that we have done, and you'd be absolutely right. Sounds like it was freely given to us, and that'd be absolutely right. What does this trust look like? Well, maybe you're here, and that's not something that's been a part of your life. Maybe you're uncertain as to whether you have this kind of rescue, this forgiveness. Romans chapter 10, Paul says it very clearly. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is with your heart you believe and are justified. And the word justified means to be made righteous or holy. You're clean before God. It is with your heart you believe and are justified. And with your mouth you confess and are saved. Let me put it a little bit differently. It's like A, B, C. So A, we admit that we need the Lord's forgiveness for our failures. B, we believe that God raised Christ from the dead. And C, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. A conscious acknowledgement of the work of God for us, where we are placing our trust in that and nothing else. And that's why we're here today, because God's goodness and grace comes to us freely. He has done all the work. We place our hope not in what we have done, but what he has done. Now maybe, just maybe, there's a few of us, probably most of us, that already believe this. We trust in this. We hope in this. We are brought here today to be reminded of this. We understand that there is no real love, no real security, no real hope, no real life apart from the foundation of the love that God has shown to us through Jesus Christ. We know that God has shown us his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we know God's great and amazing, unending, never stopping, always and forever love for us. And we are here today reminded once again of our secure place with the Lord, both now and for all eternity. And it is a time of joy. It is a time of excitement. It is a time when we sing loudly. It is a time when we dress up. We eat great meals. We connect, because if there's anything worth celebrating, it is that. This is how the Lord rescues us, is through the resurrection. Now, I'd like to invite the worship team back up. And I want to share with you a few things here that we are going to do. One is, you can fill out your worship folder here, and there's some spots that if You know, maybe this is something that you've never done, and you're realizing, oh, I would like to trust Jesus. Or maybe you have questions about what that looks like. I will get back to you if you let me know. You can scan it. You can write on this and drop it in the boxes that are there by the door. Happy to help you. Maybe you would like to get connected here at Ankeny Free at a deeper level. Would love to help you there. Maybe you're not from here, but you're like, I need a church home back where I'm at, and I'd like some advice on what to do and where to go to do that. I would love to be as helpful as I can with that. We want you to know Jesus and to walk faithfully with him. But I want us to have a time now. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then they are going to sing a song, and I want you just to sit there and simply reflect on it. It is a moving song, a lot of energy, but it takes us to the same place that we were as what God did for us there on the cross. And then we're going to all stand together and sing loudly in response to that. So if you would, bow with me. Father, we come before you today, and we are just so thankful that you sent your son, that he hung on the cross for our sin, and he rose again in order that we would have new life. And we rejoice, O Lord, that the tomb is empty, because that means hope for us. That your love is not just wishful thinking, it's something that's ground into history. Your love is not just some whimsical hope, it is something that has been demonstrated to us. It is more than just a proof. It is power for us in order that we would have hope in this life and in the next. Lord, I pray right now that you would stir in us. For some, I pray you would open eyes to see things they've never seen before. For others, I pray you would awaken joy. That we know that we can have a secure love, a secure future, secure life, because you have purchased us for that for us at the cross and shown it by your resurrection. Lord, be with us now here in this moment, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
We pray you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message, and we invite you to join us every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10 a.m. Have questions about what it means to know and follow Jesus? Simply email Todd at ankenyfree.church. Thanks for listening.